Hashtag you don't have to be Jewish.
Joining us on the line this morning is Shala Umbata, who is a lecturer at the Department of History at the University of Zululand. I wanted to catch up and try and find out what we will remember the AmaZulu region for, and as well as how death and mourning is dealt with in the Zulu culture. I find it absolutely fascinating how each culture and each environment, as a Jew, we've got very, very specific rituals around death, burial and mourning. I know my Muslim friends as well, actually very quite similar in many ways to the Jewish traditions, but I don't believe that we understand enough about the cultures that are all around us. Shalo, a very, very good morning to you. Thanks for taking the time to speak to us. How are you?
I'm great, and thank you so much for having me on these very sad circumstances.
So first of all, tell us about the AmaZulu regent.
Queen Mantfombi is actually a princess from Swaziland. She's the sister, or she was the sister, of the current king of Eswatini.
Oh,
and she was also the third wife of the king that transcended. You must pardon me when I keep speaking about them in the present, because in the Zulu culture, you never ever go away. You just transcend into spirit.
Oh, that's
which
interesting.
Is something very cultural.
Right. Oh,
so,
wow. Okay, thank you. Yeah.
Yes, and also she had eight children.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, she's one of those most dignified and decent queens that we'll ever meet, you know. And she was also a member of the Isipithipithi Regiment. Now, a lot of people are not aware that every year, during one of our ceremonies, this majesty would then, you know, establish a regiment. And not only for males, but also for females.
Right.
So she belongs to the Isipithipithi Regiment. And also, I heard you say we'll also discuss what her responsibilities were. When she came from Swaziland in 1977, she ensured that the old Zulu cultural practices were revived. For instance, the Nkosi Wamantombazana, Mhlanga, meaning the redent. She also revived Nkosi Wagweshwama, the first fruit ceremony. Further, she also revived Nkosi Sivivane. Now, Sivivane, you know, is when you put rocks together,
right,
one on top of each other, if you're traveling a long journey.
Yeah. Right.
Which is also, a lot of cultures do that as well.
Yes.
However, for the Zulu, Isivivane, that one is meant for women, whereby the women will congregate on their own discuss issues that, you know, affect women. And, you know, if anything that affects women affects a family, affects society.
Well, everybody.
Basically, it's like a highest level of consultation process to say, where are we driving the society or nation to, you know? And this ceremonies used to be there before 1948, before apartheid. But during apartheid, they were just kind of told, you know,
they were probably illegal gatherings or something. So, is it unusual to have a woman as head of the Zulu nation?
No, it isn't, Hamilton. For instance, it started back in 1781 when Princess Mukabaiga Chama, she became regent when her father was indisposed and the heir was very young. So she became the heir, and she did this, the regent, and she did this five times, you know, in between the kings if they died or they couldn't rule. She stepped up all the time. And the second female to be a regent was Queen Nomvimbi Ramsweli, you know, in 1879, when her husband, King Cetshwayo, was arrested and taken to Cape Town after the Zanzibar War. And she stepped up. And then the other time was also when her son, King Dinizulu, was exiled to St. Helena Island.
Incredible.
And she did a wonderful job. She built palaces. This is one of the palaces that still stands today. Is the one where you've got the Ritter in your game. You know, she was built by Queen Regent Nomvimbi. And she also established a regiment to protect Zulu nation, you know? And the last one, which was quite controversial, was Queen Ogamathatela Christina.
Right.
When her husband passed, King Solomon, everybody, all the wives, there were about 40 wives, all claimed that their children were the heirs.
Oh,
and she had left a will. She produced it there. And nobody believed her. And she had to go to court. You know, it was the first time in the Zulu history that to settle or to put to bed problems during succession were taken to a white man's court. And the will was found to be valid. And therefore, the king, the late king's father, became king in that way. So, the women have been very central
in
ensuring that, you know, the tradition and the kingship doesn't disappear.
Tell me about the rituals and the traditions around death and mourning. And this is so interesting because already the one that you mentioned is that you don't speak about somebody in past tense, but in present, because they simply are transcending to the next part of the journey. So they're still very much present. That's the type of thing that is so interesting to know. But give us a sense of what goes on when somebody passes in the Zulu culture.
You see, there's what happens when, as an ordinary commoner, Zulu commoner,
right,
and royalty, you know.
Right.
But what is common all through is that we fear the dead more than the living.
I think we all do. Yeah. That's for sure. I often think of my late mother, and I would never do that because I'm petrified that she wouldn't approve, even in the next world. So I know what you mean.
And after being married, I actually realized that a lot of Zulu culture and Jewish culture, there's so many things in common.
It seems,
you know?
So, yeah.
But maybe that's another story for another day.
Absolutely.
You know?
Well, you know what? We're going to do that one day. So I'm telling you now, I'm holding you to that. We're going to talk
about
Zulu and Jewish culture and the similarities, but we'll do that on another occasion.
Listen, don't get me started, because I even know the name of the first Jewish person to live in Zululand and met King Shaka, and they're very close with King Shaka.
Wow.
I don't even know, I don't think you know that.
I definitely don't know that. Wow.
His name was Naselian Isaac. He arrived in Zululand in 1825.
Wow, that is so interesting. All right, we are going to do this next week,
another
time. But let's but let's move on anyway.
Yes. Anyway, so for royalty, when His Majesty passes, it never gets announced on the time when they pass on. The nation is told that the queen is not feeling well. We have to move there.
Right.
And they do this for about a week. I guess they need to sensitize the nation. It mustn't come as sudden, you know?
Right.
And then thereafter, then they announce that, the king has transcended.
Right.
And then there's burial days is then put, and the women play a central role. When he leaves what we do is that when the king passes, they are made to sit in a sitting position, the crowd, you know,
right,
in a sitting position.
Yes.
And before they get the rigor mortis.
Right.
You know?
Okay.
Yes, and then they never lie down. They're always in a seated position. But their eyes are closed. And then the day they leave to go to the cemetery, is the women who symbolically pick him up to the door. And then from the door to where the cemetery is, then the men take over. Then when they get to the burial site, in the grave, again, the women symbolically take him and put him inside the grave, inside. Now, what that means for us is that, remember, everybody came to the planet through women. So as they take you out back to your ancestors,
women,
it's the women who must usher you into the next life again.
Incredible. Isn't that,
you know,
fascinating?
And then they get buried. However, the king is never buried like lying down again, as I said earlier.
Right.
And he gets buried into his grave is in an L shape. In other words, you go down and then they dig to the side, almost like the catacombs
in Egypt. Yes.
They go to the side.
Right.
You understand? They go down and then to the side. And yes, they sit there and they also get buried with their accoutrements, you know, like their favorite spear, their favorite this and that, you know, and pieces of food and stuff, you know, maize and pumpkin and stuff like that. This is preparing for their next life, you know? and a bit of fruit and stuff like that. And like I said, some of their personal things that they like wearing, or the stuff they use generally.
Absolutely fascinating.
However, for the surviving, for a king, the mourning period is usually 12 months.
Right.
At the end of 12 months, there's Ihlambo, whereby you go in, you go hunting. But obviously, you know, sensibly, they go hunting, and then this is ending the mourning period. However, with the current majesty, he said that the mourning period must only be 3 months, so people can go back to their lives as soon as possible. Because during the mourning period, there's a lot of things that people are not allowed to do.
Right.
You know, like the women are not
allowed. Yeah. No, so it's very limiting. So what they did there was they reduced that period. We don't have a lot of time left, but I just wanted to ask you one final question. Is there a traditional greeting? So, for example, in Judaism, when somebody's in mourning, we wish them a long life, or may they be comforted amongst the mourners of Zion and Jerusalem. Is there a traditional Zulu greeting for somebody in mourning?
Yes, there is. I don't know if it can make sense because it's not translatable. I can just say it says like, when you come there, you say, we're very sad to hear about the passing of our belated. And also you say, Semanzini. You say, we're in water.
Semanzini.
And then, Lechele, it means, you know, what has happened, it has happened before, to be comforted. But however, Emanzini, it means they're sitting in a place that, you know, they're almost drowning in sorrow.
Absolutely amazing. I do need to leave it there, even though I can carry on talking to you about this for hours, but we are going to do that because we're going to get you back. There's no question about that. Shalom Mbata, lecturer at the Department of History at the University of Zululand. Thank you for chatting to us. What a fascinating conversation.